We begin with prayer. Lord, reveal your truth to us. Amen. He was about 9 years old when he saw his sister's wallet lying in the driveway. Picked it up, looked inside. His covetous eyes beheld several dollars, and he wanted it. But how could he explain, as a 9-year-old, suddenly being in possession of that much money that he hadn't had before? So he concocted a rather unbelievable story, but it made sense to his 9-year-old brain, and he thought he could pull it off. When he was questioned by his father, he told him the story, and even took him to a place about a block away, an open lot, weed-filled lot, and pointed out the place where he said he found the money. Eventually, he confessed. And he was forgiven by his family, by his God. Yes, he had to make retribution. But look what happened. Coveting, 10th commandment. Stealing, 7th commandment. Lying, 2nd commandment. Dishonoring his father, 4th commandment. Dishonoring God, 1st commandment. James tells us in the first chapter of the epistle, verses 14 to 15, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What I just told you is an example from my own life. Example of how one sinful desire can lead to more than one sin. And if there's no repentance, it can even lead to death. It will lead to death. Fortunately, the Lord intervened, and I repented. Desire, lust, coveting, wanting, all of these mean the same thing. The Apostle John writes, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and we could say the desire of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is driven by the internal desires, the desire to have what the flesh wants, and what the eyes see, and what will bring personal glory to one's life. So students, faculty, staff, and you out there in cyberland, we are all affected by our sinful nature, by its sinful desires, and how natural this seems to us, these desires, to want what will satisfy our flesh, to want what we see, and to want to become big muckety-mucks in this world. It's so natural that we hardly even notice the sinfulness that is involved. But we must notice these things. We need to always be on the alert for the thoughts of our old Adam. Ah, there's that Adam guy again. If we're not on the alert, the desires of the old Adam will dominate our actions. Desire will lead to sin, to the actions of sin. We will look for ways and opportunities to satisfy our desires. Sinful ways and opportunities. Now, I named one sinful desire that I had and how it led to at least 4 other sins. And I imagine that you can probably come up with some stories in your own life along the same lines. uncontrolled desire leads to sin. Unrepented sin leads to death. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So each day we need to be on the alert. We need to recognize our sinful desires for what they are so that we can resist them. But this is not something that you can do on your own. On our own, we would fail. I think you know that. Because even now, with faith in our hearts, we still commit sins. We still give in to our sinful desires. However, Paul tells us that if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, so how do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit? Our connection to the Holy Spirit is through the Word of God. It is by means of this Word that the Spirit first came to us and brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, assured us that Christ's work of redemption applies to us, that we are forgiven, that heaven is our home. And likewise, it is by means of the same Word of God that the Spirit continues His work. He gives you the knowledge of the truth, and by this truth, He gives you the wisdom to understand how this truth applies in your life. And by this truth, He gives you the strength to make the application to your life. So first comes faith, and with it comes knowledge, and with knowledge comes wisdom, and with wisdom comes strength. All of this is the working of the Holy Spirit. So simply put, walking in the Spirit happens when you make the Word of God a part of your daily life. And I'm not talking just about studying the Bible in the religion class, nor even about coming to chapel or going to church. I'm talking about personalizing the Bible, personalizing the Word of God, making it your book, your point of contact with the Holy Spirit. So it will not be a professor nor a chapel speaker nor a pastor, but the Spirit of the living God Himself who is speaking to you, speaking to your spirit. And in this way you internalize the Word of God and the Spirit dwells within you. Now with the Word and the Spirit filling your heart, you can and will walk in the Spirit. He will be your constant companion, alerting you to the desires of the flesh, warning you about how uncontrolled desire leads to sin, strengthening you for the walk of righteousness, and when you fall, He will pick you up, saying to you the words of Jesus, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." He'll pick you up, dust you off, and start you on your spirit walk once again. So watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let us turn to the words of Hymn 226, verses 1, 3, and 8. 226.